Welcome to the Disneyland with Kids podcast, where we help you plan your vacation in 30 minutes or less. Want more Disneyland news in your inbox? Sign up for our newsletter at disneylandwithkids.info. In today's episode of the Disneyland with Kids podcast, we're talking about the Great American Road Trip. And what better place to take that road trip to than Disneyland Resort? I'm Jessica from The Happiest Vlog on Earth.
And I'm Becca with this crazy adventure called life.
Becca, you're the perfect person to talk to about this topic because you have two famous hashtags. One is bring back paint the night, but that's a topic for another day. So let's tell the audience listening what the other hashtag is.
Of course, it's road trips for life. I am a huge fan of road trips. I would road trip over flying any day. I just told someone the other day, if they would build a highway to Hawaii, it would be my dream.
My kids ask me that all the time. And they, of course, they know you can't drive there, but they're like, I wish we could.
I know. I just love a great road trip for a lot of reasons. But part of it, you know, it started out as a cost thing. I also have a little anxiety with flying that maybe one day I'll have to tell the stories about some of the reasons I have the anxiety. And then just, you know, it's an adventure in itself to get to the destination and to be able to make some stops. So road trips are just, they're my preferred method. I'm a road trip warrior and a huge fan.
Yeah, we do a lot of road trips too, usually one or two drives to Disneyland each year. But I would say we fly a lot more than we drive. But if you're still weighing the fly or drive decision, we covered all the Disneyland airports and logistics in episode 2 titled Flying to Disneyland with Kids. But I know we have a lot of road trippers in our group. Particularly, we see a lot coming from Canada, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah. So that's quite the range in time traveled when we're talking about in the car. What's your personal time limit for a drive? Like, you wouldn't consider driving if it's like certain amount of time in the car.
I don't know if I have a limit, honestly.
Yeah, because Hawaii flight is like 5 hours from the West Coast, so that would be a long drive. But
they'd have to like build some like floating rest stops along the way for that. But no, I don't really think I have a limit. I think for me, it's more of a what is your total vacation time limit? And I don't want to spend most of that vacation driving to the destination, only to spend 1, maybe 2 days at the destination, and then 3, 4 more days driving back. So I think that's a better gauge of how far is appropriate to drive. My family went up to Seattle and drove the coast the entire way down to Disneyland. We did a Seattle to San Diego road trip and took a whole week just to make our way down. Because we had that time, and of course it was an adventure, like I said, an adventure all in itself. But if I was coming from Canada and I only had a week to vacation, I wouldn't want to spend 2 to 3 days just to make that trek down the coast. That would be where I would be like, okay, I'm going to fly. But that's where you're going to have to look at it is how long do you have for vacation versus how long will it take you to drive?
Yeah, definitely. Mine personal limit is like a day's drive. Like, I usually don't like to spend the night. So if I can do this in a day, that's what I would do. But again, like you said, if you're making like the vacation out of the stops and stuff, then definitely. All right. So now that we're getting into the actual road trip journey, let's talk about the car itself. Do you usually take your own car or rent a car?
I've done both, actually. So I always weigh all of the options. If I can avoid taking my own car, I do. For me, I basically do the math on 3 different scenarios, and that's flying, driving with my own car, and driving with a rental car. And so a lot of times I can still drive with a rental car for cheaper than flying. It may be more than driving in my own car, but at that point, I'm also looking at wear and tear on my own vehicle, adding the mileage to my own vehicle. Is it going to put my vehicle to a mileage where I'm like, man, now my vehicle's old and I need to get a new car? Those types of things. So I am totally up for either of those scenarios, whether it's my own car or a rental car. Just make sure if you choose to take a rental car, one, that it is allowed to leave the state, or if you're going out, crossing an international border, that is often an issue for rental companies. And also make sure you're renting where you get unlimited mileage, because that can kick you in the butt when you get back and get a large fee for going over that mileage. So definitely check on those things through whatever car rental agency you choose to use, because you're going to need that unlimited mileage and the ability to leave your state if you are leaving the state. If you're driving from Northern California, Southern California, maybe not so much, but check on those two things for sure.
Another thing you should know about rental cars is you should never put any money down or even enter a credit card to reserve a rental car. You will be paying at the facility. So if you're booking through a third party that wants money up front, I think that's a bad sign. I personally always use Costco Travel if you're a Costco member, and it just books you right through that rental car agency. But you can always check and adjust to see if the prices have changed. And that's like my total hack whenever I rent cars. I even check like an hour before I pick up the car, and I've been able to save hundreds of dollars. So basically never prepay for your rental car ever.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I used to be a huge fan of like the Hotwire hot rates for rental cars and things like that. But lately, I found that they actually are not getting me a very good deal. Probably the last couple of years, they haven't had very good deals. So I never do that anymore. And then another tip for those of you that are, credit free, don't want to use credit cards, Dollar Rental Car actually does have a credit card free rental approach where you can use your debit card instead of a credit card, because they're trying to get on with the Dave Ramsey method, which a lot of people use right now. So that is a great option for those of you that maybe do not have a credit card that you want to put down for your rental vehicle. And they don't charge you like a huge deposit. It's a pretty standard deposit with the debit card. And there's even some ways to get around with their dollars membership that you don't even have to pay a deposit. You just pay the rental amount up front. So definitely look into that, explore all of your options when you are looking for a rental car. But I agree, I wouldn't pay up front, even directly through the company, I wouldn't pay up front, because then you are potentially missing out on savings if you go and you check and last minute there's a better deal.
100%. And if you have more questions about rental cars, whether it's for your road trip or when you arrive in Southern California, definitely post about it in the Disneyland with Kids Facebook group, because we can expand and give you experiences based on your particular scenario. Even if you take a rental car, it's good to make sure everything is in working order. And for rentals, definitely check the wiper blades. I once had a worn out pair and we hit a flash flood storm in the desert. And now I always remember to check those wiper blades at the car rental location. I've even had to actually turn in a car that I didn't like the noises it was making. They exchanged it out for me about halfway through my trip, which was fantastic. But what are some other basics to do for a car checkup before you hit the road?
Definitely when you pick up a rental car, watch for any of those warning lights that maybe come on. A lot of times they'll try and dismiss them and be like, oh, no, we just took care of that. So definitely watch for that. But with your own car, you should always be doing an oil check, oil change if it's time, checking the tire pressure. In fact, I just suggest taking it into your local mechanic and asking them to do a general, hey, check my car, make sure it's looking okay for a road trip. Most of them will do it for a very, very minimal fee. Ours, in fact, does it for free if you're also getting the oil changed at the same time. So it's a great way to help ensure that your car is road trip ready. They can't predict everything. you could very well still have something happen, but they can look at if the fan belt, you know, if that's wearing, they can look at a lot of things that may go wrong and see if you need any work done before you take your vehicle on the road. Because I have been where we have been stranded a couple times now, once with my whole family, once with a friend. In fact, I mentioned this once before in an episode. I got stranded last year on the way back in August in the desert from coming home from Disneyland, and had to wait for a tow truck. And I was Marco Poloing you the whole adventure. It was kind of fun, but definitely check, have your car checked out. See what they say, if anything work needs to be done. And that may also weigh on your decision of taking your own car or renting a car at that point as well.
Yeah, and this podcast episode couldn't come at a better time, because literally as I was preparing for this episode and also preparing for a road trip, I took my own advice and I just got back from getting my car checked out before we recorded this.
That's great. I'm glad you did that. Nothing worse than getting stranded. And we know a lot of people are also going to be road tripping this summer, probably more than normal. So that also means, the downside to that is, tow companies may also be busier, which means you may have a longer wait if something goes wrong. So I'm really glad you went and got your car checked out.
Yes. And now I'm on to the next phase, which is packing up the car. I'm pretty meticulous about that. It's just a job I like to handle on my own. I let my husband do the unloading, but I like the car a certain way. What are some of your best packing up the car tips?
All right. So this is the part that I find this so interesting that we talk about this, not because it's not something that needs to be discussed, but everyone's going to have their own packing the car style. The way I pack for a road trip probably won't work for someone else. And so take everything we mention and we talk about with a grain of salt. These are just ideas and jumping off points. And
for sure,
I'll tell you, I pack differently depending on the road trip as well. When I drove from Seattle to San Diego, we had a packing, we packed for each location. So each location, at least till we got to, because we were going through three or four different climates, because we were traveling in the spring. So while California was already going to be short weather, you know, up in Seattle and San Diego, we were going to need sweatshirts and pants.
Right.
So we just packed for each location, had each location in a bag, put masking tape on the bag and marked them. This is where we use this bag until we got to California. Then we had a regular suitcase for all our stops there. But that's not how I would pack if I was just driving straight to Disneyland. In that case, you know, I more traditional, everybody has their suitcases, put those on the bottom. And then on top, you always want the things you may need on your road trip easily accessible. That's the big difference between packing for flying versus, I mean, I guess it's kind of not different. Like when you fly, you want those things in your carry-on that you may, or like your personal item that you may need during the flight, but this is a longer time frame. So this is where you're going to want extra, like multiple extra outfits maybe, or you're going to want all the snacks where you can get to them, or all the entertainment things for the children. So it's definitely a personal, like based on your car and your traveling style. But the name of the game here is not fit everything in the smallest bag possible. That's not what it is. The name of the game here is get to things when you'll need them. And if you're stopping overnight one night, you're going to need an overnight bag that's just for that night probably, or things like that. So you'll definitely have to experiment with your personal style. What is your style, Jessica?
Yeah, I really like how you said pack for where you're going. So if we ever do an overnight, which we have done, we pack an overnight bag, because then I'm not taking five different bags into the hotel. We're just packing one duffel bag for the family. We also do a bin that's kind of like the plastic Tupperware style for all of our toiletries, because over the years, I figured out that I also hate having every kid have their own toiletry bag. So we have a bigger bin and we put everyone's in there. So I know that bin also comes out with the overnight bags. And having that bin, just throw it in the bathroom wherever you're staying, has been a game changer for me. I'm sad that it took me so long to figure that one out.
Yeah, we definitely do that. Ours is a more a tote bag that we use that we put all of our toiletries go in that, and then we have like a little Sterilite container for all of our medications, including our over-the-counter medications and all that. And that one stays actually, we have a van, so it has store in the floor, and we actually keep it in the floor there. And
Nice.
we'll grab it when we get to the locations, but then it's not like getting thrown around the back of the van that way. So, and that's the other thing when you're packing. You have all these like fun spaces, depending on your vehicle, that you can use up the in between the two seats in the front. There's usually an armrest that has some storage there that you can put something. If you have a van, you have that storage in the floor where your seats fold down a lot of times that you can put stuff in. That's where we keep our car emergency kit, which is another thing you will want to pack is an emergency kit.
For
We didn't really
sure.
talk about that. That's where we keep our medications. When our kids were in diapers, that's where we kept some diapers for rest stops. And so that's one of the fun things about a road trip is you can bring a lot of things you may not bring when you are
Flying.
flying.
Spot on.
And then you can just like pack it in wherever you can get it. Like I pack probably, I am a notorious overpacker, which is probably half the reason I love road trips so much because I can bring my entire house with me if I have to, as long as I can fit it in my vehicle. Definitely explore your car and think about when am I going to need to reach this? What's the best way to get to it without having to dig through everything?
That's perfect. I do some of those things too. Speaking of like the food and everything, what we do is each kid has their own gallon size Ziploc bag with snacks. They're older, so I trust them to go through their snacks as they need them. When they were younger, I would keep them with me and distribute it. But now I do a gallon size Ziploc and it has one snack for each hour of the trip. And it has their name on it. They get to have it about every hour, but it's really up to them and they can choose which one they want. So I make two of those so that they have one on the way there and one on the way back, but I hide the ones for the way back under the seats, like how you're talking about, because I don't want anybody getting into them. And then I slide in every nook and cranny that I can, especially we like to buy our sodas and bottled water or whatever bottled drinks because I'm so cheap and I don't want to pay the extra fees for the California, like the recycle fees. So I like to bring that in.
I do the same thing. I'm pretty cheap. I bring in everything. So another thing though with that, when you are packing to think about though, is as you drive into California, there are agricultural checkpoints.
Right.
And you never know if there's going to be something they're looking for or not. But there is a very good chance if you're bringing fruit or vegetables that you may have to discard those. So while I love to bring as much food with me as I can, because like you, I'm a cheapskate, I don't even want to pay the difference in the price for the food versus home versus California. I usually tend not to bring fruit or vegetables simply because of the fact that I may have to discard those when I get to the agricultural checkpoint. It's been a few years since I've had to, but there is that chance.
Yeah, okay. So interesting that you bring that up. Have you ever had to?
Yes, I have had to.
Interesting.
And
Okay.
I've had a time that was really close. We had so it's been a while. The last few times they've kind of waved us through, but a couple years ago they were asking, but it was probably 4 years ago that we had to discard something. We had some bananas that we had not eaten. We had planned to eat in the morning and had not eaten them, and that was something that they were looking for. One time we brought apples and we lucked out that our apples had the sticker on them still that said where they were from because they
Wow.
were looking for apples from a particular region that they were going to make us discard. So they said, because these apples are from, I think it was Washington, then they're okay. And so we were told
Oh
they're
my
okay.
goodness. Okay, so if you're listening to this and you've never heard of this agricultural inspection, I do have a link to it and tell you more about it in the show notes. But I have probably in my life gone through that agricultural inspection like hundreds of times because it is right outside of Las Vegas on the California Nevada border is the one that I go through.
Me too.
And I have only been stopped once out of those hundreds of times. And the one time that they actually stopped me, they asked me if I had any fruit or vegetables, and I did have apples. They wanted to see them and know how many I had, like if I was bringing boxes of apples or just two. And then they said that was fine. Mostly they're going to be stopping like the commercial trucks. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, like Becca mentioned, they're just going to wave you through, but you do need to slow down, and it is on the freeway. So you'll start to notice outside the state line brake lights, and that's where you just need to slow down and prepare to stop. And like she said, they're just looking for things from different areas and making sure that everything's clear, but it's nothing to get nervous about. The worst thing is they're just going to confiscate those items. So
yeah, you're pretty okay. They do tend to stop out-of-state plates a little more than you'll see. Like, they might let a bunch of people through and then stop you. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with you. They let a lot of out-of-state plates and even a lot of the Nevada plates go through because they know that maybe they're just, you know, that's a high traffic area between those two states. So don't get nervous. You're okay. Thankfully, they actually moved this closer to the border. It used to be like an hour and a half in, like close to you know, Baker or somewhere like that. And it really backed up back then when it was there. So now it's closer to the border, almost right after you cross into California. And there's some in other areas of California as well. So you're not going to avoid it just by choosing a different route.
Right. Yeah. And it's really not going to take any, I mean, when you're not going on a busy time, it's not going to add that much time. But since we mentioned that, let me also mention along with that, if you are driving through Las Vegas, if that's along your route, you want to make sure to avoid Sundays driving into California because Las Vegas has reopened, my friends. And I cannot tell you how many times I have people texting me, what's going on? Because there's so much traffic from Vegas to California. Well, what's going on is everybody from Southern California goes to Vegas for the weekend and they all go home on Sunday. So you're talking about added hours to your trip. This is not just like a minor inconvenience and you can get off the freeway and chill. No, this is, you're in the middle of the desert. There is nowhere to get off. There is nowhere to go. You are hours in, adding hours. So do not go through on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. I made the mistake one time because we got a better rate staying on site and we're like, we'll get there on Sunday because, you know, they have better rates Sunday through Thursday. And I should have just driven and stayed at a different hotel for Saturday night because I was like, and I think I even texted you guys. I'm like, why did I do this? I know not to drive from Vegas to California on a Sunday.
And it's not just the Vegas area. It is Vegas all the way to about Victorville in California. So it's not just a little stretch that you'll get through. You're going to be sitting in it for a long time.
Yeah. And I think if this is absolutely the only day you could make that trek, your best bet is to wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and get out of there.
Yeah.
But other than that, avoid it if you can.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. If you can leave Vegas before like 9 a.m., you'll likely miss it because most people have just gotten to bed. So, oh boy. Well, let's get out of Vegas. Let's talk about what we're doing to keep our kids busy during the trip. Busy and comfortable.
Oh boy. So this is going to depend on the age of your kids, I think. So this is a really good one for you and I to talk about together because your youngest and my oldest are the same age.
Yeah.
And so we have that age range where I've been road tripping with all of my kids have road tripped since they were months old, like a couple of months old. So I think that's going to change what you do with your kids as well. Those kids that are used to road tripping, they're not going to need as much entertainment as kids that maybe are not used to it. And by entertainment, I mean, they're not going to need mom and dad to tell them what to do next as much as the kids that maybe are not used to road tripping. But thankfully, we live in a different age than my parents did when we road tripped. So there's a lot more options. Oh man. So some of our favorites, I like to bring books. Now I do have one child that gets motion sickness like me. So we always make sure that he has taken his motion sickness medicine, which is another point we probably should have talked about with road trips, is have that motion sickness medicine ready just in case if you haven't taken one before. But Books are always great. I like to bring new toys. I don't know if you ever did this when your kids were smaller, Jessica, but like I pick up a few new toys that I hold on to, and then like throughout the trip they get these new toys because they'll be entertained by those new toys longer than the toys they already know everything about. Did you ever do that?
Yes, and I would hit up the dollar store and grab, just like I did for the snacks, one thing for each hour, including one of our favorites was pipe cleaners because they could make glasses, they could make creatures. Another thing we'd get is window clings,
yes,
or even window markers, and they could just stick those all over the windows, draw on the windows. Sorry for that middle child, the middle seat child. But
yeah, toys are great. That's a great way to do it. And we do the window clings as well. And of course, we live in a different day and age than our parents did when they would road trip with us when we were little. So thankfully, we also have electronics. I'm not a huge fan of giving my kids electronics the entire road trip. We drive, our drive time is 14 hours. We're looking at 17 hours when we fill in stops and eating and things like that. So I don't want them to just be on electronics for the full time, but being able to give that to them here and there is great. Do you let your kids have electronics in the car?
I do now that they're older, but some of the things that we try to encourage are, but before they even had their own electronic devices, we bought them MP3 players. So they were able to listen to their own music. And then we also encourage podcasts, and we'll play those for all of us. There's some cute kid podcasts that tell stories and some like science kid podcasts, things like that. We also like to listen to soundtracks or the Disneyland music as we go.
Yes, Disney music. That's great.
We're a fan of Broadway musicals too. So we'll play like the entire soundtrack and then it feels like you've watched the whole show. So things like that, that can involve the whole family, but keep everyone busy.
And if you're heading to Disneyland, I happen to know the perfect podcast you could tune into. It's all about going to Disneyland with kids. I don't know. It might be a good one to listen to on the way down to make sure that you're ready for this trip.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I would say I recommend it as well.
Yeah. So one tip I have about electronics is, once my kids are those like at home, once they've had TV or they've had a video game and it's time to turn it off, even if you've warned them and you've done you have 5 more minutes, all that, they still throw a fit at the end. So something we found that works really well for our family is, one, electronics have timers on them, the parental controls, so they'll shut off. But two, we time it from, hey, from this rest stop to this rest stop, you get electronics. And then it's the next section is a break from electronics. So that's something we've done. And it's really cut down on the whining and the asking for electronics because they know, okay, this turn I get electronics, then I have to take a break. So if you don't want them doing electronics the entire way, that's also a great way to rotate what they're doing and make sure that they're not just on electronics.
Good point. We also pack colored pencils rather than crayons because the heat, yes, you don't want those crayons melting. When we're talking about comfort, we have these little travel pillows that we like to bring for the kids. They also like to bring blankets, but most of the time our trips are in the summer. So what we do instead is have them bring their beach towel because we're going to be using that for sure. And then they can use that as a blanket or sometimes shade when they need it throughout the drive.
And that brings up another good point. It's always great, especially with younger kids, if you can plan road trips around times that they will sleep. it helps a lot, especially with that infant to toddler range where toys and things aren't going to entertain them as much. Travel while they sleep. If like for years we traveled overnight, we don't do that anymore. Partially our kids are older, partially my husband and I are getting older and that's getting tougher on us. But if you can travel even around nap time, something like that, it will help cut down on the are we there yet. It just makes the trip feel faster to them and it makes it a little bit easier on mom and dad.
Yeah, even my older kids take naps after lunchtime. We always do naps and they know that they'll be that much closer when they wake up. So, Becca, are there any special tips about road trips that we want to add on before we sign off?
One thing a lot of us have now, because it's on our phone, it's easy to use, is a GPS. We use a GPS. I strongly suggest if you're taking a road trip you have not taken before, if you don't really know really well where you're going, that you still either have a map or you print out written instructions, because GPSs fail. Don't ask me how I know that, or do ask me. I don't care. But GPSs fail. We had it fail in the middle of the desert on us on our first trip time taking our oldest son to Disneyland. We've had them fail on us other times. You know, sometimes it's the cell towers are down or the debt, you know, like there's just random reasons that GPSs will fail. So I definitely suggest if you don't know the way by yourself, have those instructions written out, especially because when you get down to California, there are so many exits and going onto a different highway and freeway, you're going to want to have that information. And then also, you got to plan lots of stops. That's a big difference between flying and road trips, right, Jessica? Like flying a direct flight, that is like key, right?
Golden.
Golden. But when you're doing a road trip, you're going to need to stop to get out to stretch your legs, obviously to use restroom, fuel up. So you're going to plan those. I say usually about every 2 hours is when you need to have a stop. If you have younger kids, it might have to be more often. And that's when you'll want to possibly fuel up, use the restroom, and stretch those legs a little bit.
We like to even bust out a game of freeze tag on some of our road trips because it gets your body moving all around, and the kids have so much fun when their parents join in.
Yeah, and this is a great point too. It's also a spot to get out that energy. Your kids have been sitting for a long time. They need to stretch out their body. You need to stretch out your body as well, but they need to get that energy out. Otherwise, they may end up just kicking the back of your seat to get that energy out. But with that, with road trips and the stops, you've got, when you look up how long your road trip is going to take and you're planning this road trip, be sure, like I said, our drive time to Disneyland, if we just drove and never had a stop, we'd be looking at 14 hours. But because we have to stop and get all five of us out of the vehicle and fuel up and do all that, we're looking at closer to 16 to 17 hours for a drive time. So when you're doing your planning, make sure you account for those stops, because there are people that will be like, hey, it's 12 hours away when they look it up, and then they're like, why did it take me 15 hours to get there? And that's usually why. Any other tips that you can think of, Jessica, that people might want to know as they plan their road trip?
I would say look into the Disneyland with Kids Facebook group because we've had a lot of people plug in specific destinations, or rather where they left, and they can also give you tips on where to stop along the way.
Yeah.
So our community is a great resource. There's so many people coming from Canada and Arizona, like I mentioned, and lots of good resources there, and we'd love to help you kind of map it out. We always wrap up the Disneyland with Kids podcast with a would you rather question. So, Becca, this one might be a little bit hard for you, but Tammy K asked, would you rather ride on Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, or Star Tours?
Is neither an option. I get motion sickness on both of those rides. So that's a really hard one for me. I think, oh God, I'm gonna go with Millennium Falcon because if I can get, I didn't get very sick when I was the engineer, so I think that might be the job for me. So I'm gonna go with that and hope that I either get engineer or someone is willing to switch me to let me be the engineer on
Oh, they'll
that
switch you.
ride.
Engineer is the least coveted position. But we did talk about rides that make you sick a couple episodes back. So if that applies to you, check that out. And for this one, I'm going to say Star Tours. I think it's the better thrill ride. If you like thrills and you're looking for something Star Wars themed, I prefer Star Wars over the new Millennium Falcon. Crazy.
That is crazy. But I will say, if you have kids, it's probably a better bet to do Star Tours with them first, too, because you're sitting closer together. So you can be
Good
there to
tip.
comfort them. Well, thanks for that question. It makes me not want to go ride any rides now.
And if you have more would you rather questions, post those in the Facebook group as well. It's always fun to see what you guys are wondering and what you want to hear. And of course, we'll give you a shout out here on the podcast. That's it for this episode of the Disneyland with Kids podcast. You have been listening to Jessica and Becca as we discuss road trips to Disneyland. Tell us about your road trip adventures in the Facebook group. And of course, use the hashtag Disneyland with Kids when you hit the road for your next vacation.